Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Get you aboard on a Wednesday, the morning leading into the Sixers opener. Get excited, everyone. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, you know what? Every now and then, you have to be shamed into doing the right thing. Mm. Every now and then. I mean, it's okay. Sometimes you need your peers and close friends to, you know, browbeat you into doing the right thing.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And all the other friends that I have that were texting me and calling me names, mean and hurtful names yesterday about the whole bed fiasco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a bed?
Yeah.
You set up?
Yeah, I got one. And I mean, you know. It's a whole story behind that. But, I mean, it's just like, man, you know, I got a bed. I wasn't cheap.
How about that? Hugh Douglas gets a house and a bed before Joel Embiid plays his first game of the 2024-25 season.
Great tie-in.
All right, so we got a basketball game tonight. The NBA season has begun. This is the start of the special year, right, Joel? And Paul George and Tyrese Maxey and the 76ers. Get your tickets. Look, the news came out yesterday that Joel is going to not just miss tonight, but miss this first week or so of the season. They'll reevaluate him this weekend. And, Hugh, there was a lot of reaction in our show yesterday. Afternoon show had great debates all day about it. I listened to a lot of the morning show today on my way in. They were fired up. And here's where I'm at on this as we get ready for a new Sixers season, but it's the same old Sixers. I'm at the point now where I understand if they feel like this is their only way out of the situation to try to keep him healthy. The part that bothers me and why I don't agree with the Sixers holding him back the first week is they're not being transparent about what's going on. I don't trust them to keep him healthy anyway. And the biggest issue is why. No one answered the why. We're going to hear from Nick Nurse in a couple minutes. No one answered the why of why he's not playing tonight. You know, if they had said, you know, a couple weeks ago, hey, we're at the point now with his career. We think 50, 55 games is all he could play. We're going to have a plan here. We're going to map it out. He's going to play this many here, this many there, with the hope that he's ready for the postseason. Hugh, I may not have loved it, but I would have understood it, and I would have probably said, all right, this is where we're at. The reality is they're being vague about it.
Very vague.
Which they always are. And they're making me believe this is worse than they're letting on. I don't believe the Sixers at all. I remember when the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts, Hugh. There was a lot of debate for 2 weeks in the station about why. Well, what was that all about,
yeah,
right?
Why you draft the quarterback? You already just got one. Yep. And you got one you just paid, right?
And you know what there was? There was a lot of, look over here, it's this. There's a lot of, hey, don't worry, don't think about what it really might be. It's this. We want a cheap backup quarterback. And Hugh, I went back to, usually the simplest answer is the right answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the simplest answer here is not load management. It's not that they're trying to do this plan and not tell us till the day before the season. The simplest answer is there's something wrong and they don't want to tell us. So do I agree with this? How could I agree with the plan that they haven't even told me? I can't agree. If I don't even know what you're doing, how can I? I don't agree with this because you're telling me he's healthy. You're telling me he's ready to go. And then he's not out there. This is another year where we head into it with the same situation. And I look at it like this. You may say, and I heard Spike yesterday saying, well, you got to keep them healthy for the full year. They tried the other way. They got to try this way. When I think about NBA champions, which is the whole goal here, teams play a lot together. We're already throwing the towel on that. They're not going to play much together this year. No back-to-backs for Joel or Paul George. And here we go. No Embiid to start the season. And you have to have a high seed. The Boston Celtics, I said this last year when I wanted to trade Embiid and everyone got upset. They're the best team in the league by a lot. And they're off and running, playing it together, dominated last night. They're probably going to win it again. And here we are trying to play catch-up whenever the heck Embiid comes back. Hugh, I'm frustrated, as you could hear. It's the same thing all over again. I don't trust the Sixers. I don't trust Embiid. And my gut is telling me he is more hurt than they're saying. And that's why I can't agree with this. If they just said he's hurt, he can't play, I'd have to accept it. But they won't even tell the truth, Hugh.
Yeah, and this is where it gets tough for me. You know, being a former athlete, understanding how it is to be hurt and play and try to put your team in the best position. But on the flip side of that, I'm a fan too. And I get a chance to listen to the fans. And when I assess some of the things that we talk about, I channel my inner fandom. And this is the tough part about it. I look at it like this. A lot of people were torn when Joel Embiid decided to play in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was one of the greatest things you could possibly do. And they ended up winning the Olympics. You know, everybody got their signature shoe and all this other good stuff, which was a great time. Now, fast forward to the season. A lot of people were upset because they felt like this was probably going to happen. And so much so that we even talked about it. We talked about how if he plays in the Olympics after he's had his surgery, then he better be ready for the regular season. So the regular season is here. We have three games here in Philadelphia. And we have an Olympic champion that's on our squad that's not going to hit the court. I think about the people that have children. And it's a beautiful thing to see when they bring their kids to the game and they're wearing the Joel Embiid jersey and everything like that. And how disappointed, you know, family, men, the grown men and the women, they understand that. But it's the kids like, well, Dad, why ain't he playing?
Is he hurt? Well, no, I guess not.
Yeah. And the fact that this has been a pattern for Joel Embiid his whole career here, it feels like. That's the frustrating thing about it. I understand as a former athlete how it could be challenging, and you're looking at the bigger picture. We're playing chess, not checkers. But I was listening to the afternoon show yesterday, man. And you know, sometimes when you think about what's being said, and then when math is actually put to it, then you're like, well, damn. I was thinking, 82 games in a regular NBA season, correct?
Yep.
So we're talking about a load management situation for Joel where he's going to probably play half the games. Paul George is already hurt. He's probably going to be in the same situation. So you're telling me, and we're saying that we're saving him for the playoffs. Continuity is a thing.
It is a huge thing.
Continuity is a thing. So when they start mathing that math.
The math.
And I'm thinking like, well, damn, he's going to miss probably half the games of the season. And he's going to miss the first three at the beginning of the season when people are, you know, excited about the season starting, and you don't have your big two guys out there. Now, I understand Paul George being hurt. That's something totally different.
Yeah, he hypersented it.
Yeah, you know.
We're not mad about that because we can get it. We saw it. They explained it. He went on his podcast and said, I'll be back soon. All right, we hope that's fine. This one, it's just so vague.
It's shady.
Yes.
That's the best way that I can describe it. It's shady in the sense that we didn't see it coming. We didn't, and on top of that, we have history with this, Joe. They were real shady about his diagnosis when he had the surgery.
Yep.
And the time that he would be back. So it's one of those things where it doesn't feel right. It just feels like more the same. And this is the coup de grace for all of this. The coup de grace is that you just gave Buddy a extension, 3-year extension to keep him here. And he's not even playing. That's a tough pill to swallow.
It is. He can't
tough
post.
Tough pill to swallow.
He can't post for the first game. 215-592-9494. Do you agree with the Sixers' decision to sit Joel Embiid out to start the season? I think the messaging is a disgrace. The reality of what's going on here is sobering because there's a lot of Joel Embiid people out there living La La Land. Like, Joel Embiid La La Land is an interesting place. I've never been there, but I know a lot of you live there. We got to wake up. I mean, like, this is crazy. He can't post for the first game of the season, which means he's hurt. Or they're lying. I mean, either way, it's annoying to me. Let's hear Nick Nurse yesterday as he's now fulfilling the Brett Brown, Doc Rivers role of spokesperson, and he's not enjoying himself. I could hear it in his voice. Nurse asked, is Joel Embiid injured? Here's how he answered that.
For clarification, is he injured, or is this more a long-term preventative thing with Joel?
This is getting him to where he needs to be to get him on the court.
You know, when you're asked the question, is a player injured, and you don't answer with a no or a yes, Hugh, you're dancing, you're tap dancing there.
Yeah, I've done a little bit of tap dancing.
Yeah, we all tap dance once in a while. Nick Nurse did some tap dancing yesterday. All right, how about this one? Because I think these are fair questions. Okay, so we know he was healthy, right? Healthy enough to play in the Olympics. He had when was his surgery? Was it last January, last February? Right around
there,
right?
Yeah.
And he came back for the playoffs. Think about this for a second, everyone. He has played two of the most competitive types of basketball since his surgery. He ramped back up for the playoffs, and he gave what he could. Obviously, you know, wasn't enough. They couldn't win, but he gave a lot. And then he ramped up for the Olympics. And now, apparently, he's not ready for this. It doesn't make any sense. So, did he have a setback? Did something happen? Here's Nick Nurse on that.
About ramp up, but was there, like, any setback that he had with the Olympics? Because he was able to come back, and now, all of a sudden, he's, you know, ramping up.
No, there's been no setbacks. No, we've again. He's really active. He's lost some weight. He's out on the court, et cetera. Just kind of sticking with our plan of making sure we're getting him in a really, really good place before we get him playing live.
Is there a concern with, the Eastern Conference is stacked. You have guys right now. Joel already said he doesn't want to play in back-to-back. Mm-hmm. That's missing 15 games. You're taking it lightly with PG as well. Is there any concern that, you guys aren't going to have enough continuity by the time the postseason comes around, or you may not be in the seed that you would prefer heading into the playoffs?
Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah, look away. Not quite yet. They should be concerned about it. The Eastern Conference is good, and the Sixers are going to give themselves a difficult path doing it this way by being the 4 or 5 seed or whatever they're going to be with these guys not playing. Yeah, one more from Nick Nurse here, as he is probably as exasperated as the rest of us trying to figure out how to coach this basketball team.
Nick, I think to that point, when people hear you guys have a plan, they think of those things like not playing back-to-backs, resting in the middle of the season. But without any kind of setback, and we're saying he's on schedule throughout the preseason, how do we square that he's not ready to just play games? Just trying to figure out. Because it's not like the regular season opener snuck up on you guys.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to you. Right? He's in practice. He's looking good. He's progressing. He's not quite ready yet. He'll be ready pretty soon.
Is the rim?
I don't know what else to say to you.
And there it is. We've reached the stage of Nick Nurse's coaching career with the Sixers where he throws his hands up and says, I don't know what to tell you. He's living the life that Doc lived and Brett Brown lived. I don't know.
Well, it sounds to me like when you listen to it like that there's somebody else in this situation calling the shots.
Mm-hmm. Not
and
him.
He's just relaying the message. It's an unfortunate position to be in. But all I can think of is they gave him a ton of bread. They've made him the guy that has the big piece of chicken, and there's nothing you can do about that, Joe.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know what else to say, because that's what it sounds like. He was as transparent as you could possibly be in a situation like this. He doesn't have the answers. For all that he knows is that it feels like Joel Embiid is ready to go,
mm-hmm.
but somebody's saying to Joel Embiid, or Joel Embiid is saying, I'm not going. I don't feel like going. So he's taking his time to – he's taking these 3 games, and he's doing what he feels is best for Joel Embiid.
Well, 3 games for now. They're going to reevaluate this weekend.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, and it might be more.
Yeah, well, I will. And with the Sixers, you could bet on the over when it comes to games missed. 215-592-9494. Do you agree with the Sixers' decision to hold Joel Embiid out to start the season? No. I mean, I don't, because they won't even tell me what this is about. How could I agree with something I don't even understand? They're either being not transparent or they're flat out lying. And by the way, when he said this is all part of the plan, the Sixers should be ashamed of themselves. People spent a lot of money for opening night tickets with the assumption or the hope Joel Embiid would play. They knew probably 2 weeks ago he wasn't playing in this game, and they didn't say it till yesterday. Shame on the Sixers. Kyle, where do you come down on this as Groundhog Day arrives in October this year?
I'm in agreement with everything pretty much that you guys just said. It would be so much easier for me to get behind this if I knew what the hell was going on, if they weren't being so vague about it, if they told me what the actual plan was. They can say this is part of the plan all they want. What is the plan? I was okay with the whole he's not going to play back-to-backs. I mean, it's a little bit like, okay, dude. But now we're at this point where we're doing load management for the first 3 games of the season, the first week of the season. None of it makes any sense.
And Doc Rivers in town.
That beside the point is that Nick Nurse either won't or can't explain to me what the hell is going on. Nobody can. Like, none of the messaging that they've been given makes any sense. Is he injured? Is he just ramping up? And if he is ramping up, why is he not ready at this point of the season? They just went through an entire training camp. The whole thing is just so unbelievably aggravating. And I've been trying so hard to get excited for this Sixers season that maybe things will be new and different, that they've actually added a piece in Paul George to get them over the hump. But now it just feels like it's more of the same old crap. And it's just so, so bothersome.
It is. It really is. 215-592-9494. Are you okay with this? As the Sixers hold Joel Embiid out for the opener tonight. And I think Kyle hit it. If it was just load management. Hugh, if the plan is 55 games, let's just use that as a number. Don't you think if he was fine, he would just play tonight? Like, you'd give the home fans the home opener, right? And then you'd map out the 54 more games over the next 81. The fact that he can't get out there tonight hits you in the guts. Like, why? The why of this is the troublesome part. And the Sixers expect us to trust them. They're the least trustworthy team in the city in terms of what they say. Trust the Sixers? No way. They don't know what they're doing.
The more I think about this, I think, I don't know Joel Embiid from a can of paint, but it feels like this is more his decision more so than anything else because he has all the power in this situation. They just gave him a ton of money. They gave him an extension. And it feels to me like basically he's saying, I don't want to play. I need a few more days, and we're going to evaluate it as we go. Because all indicators say when you hear Coach Nurse talk is that he looks good in practice, he looks strong, he's lost a lot of weight.
Yep.
So what is keeping him off the court? Joel Embiid is keeping himself off the court, in my opinion. From what it sounds like, reading the tea leaves and reading in between the lines, that's what it sounds like to me. It's like this is a decision that he's made, and he's not comfortable with where he is in his rehab or the way that his body feels right now. That's why he's not going out there.
If I can make a prediction, we fast forward to late April and the Sixers are the 5 or 6 seed and go out in the first round. And there'll definitely will be a quote from one of them, probably Joel, saying, well, we really didn't get to play much together this year. Next year, we'll have continuity. And I will roll my eyes the way we do every year. Derek is up on WIP. What's up, Derek?
Oh, this is a travesty, bro.
What is? Well, everything? The Sixers? Joel?
This is my whole thing with it. And, you know, I'm usually like for the players mm-hmm. at all times because I think injuries are part of the game and nobody wants to be injured. But with Embiid, I feel like the way last season ended, the Sixers should not have let him play in the Olympics. He was gaining nothing. A gold medal does not solidify your career, right? And if you're going to go to the Olympics and give all you got, you got to be ready for the season, bro. You got to be ready for the season. Like, if he went over there and played like a Jason Tatum role, I would feel a little bit different. But he went over there and he gave it his all. And then now, like you guys keep saying, it's like it's the same old story. We had Paul George. He hurt. We got Embiid. He hurt. Like you said, opening night, that's the biggest night of the year. You know what I'm saying? After last year ended, he should be excited to play. Now, if he can't play, he can't play. But if he didn't play in the Olympics, he would be able to play, I think. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I think that when they say ramp up, that's why I question it, Derek. Yeah. Like, wait a second. Wasn't he ramped up for the Olympics, and now we're not ramped up for the real the games that matter to people in Philadelphia?
Remember last year when he got hurt? Like, last year he missed all those games. Like, I was one person saying, like, man, just shut him down till next year. You know what I'm saying? Because he literally just came back to get re-injured, and we lost in the first round, right? Mm-hmm. So I was more thinking, just shut him down. You know, go get a big free agent. Go have at least 4 or 5, 6 months off. Get his knee ramped up and all that, ready to go. But no, they brought him back, and the Knicks did us dirty. And then he went over to the Olympics and played his behind off. And then it's like now we right back at square one.
That, I think that's the best way to sum it up, Derek. We're at square one. And we're starting to say, and Derek, we appreciate the phone call. And this was supposed to be a season that they competed for a title. That's the whole reason they signed Paul George.
That's why we were excited. And that's the thing. I think that's why Sixers fans are upset. If Joel Embiid, if this was a situation where he's hurt and there wasn't a pattern, I think that people would understand.
Sure.
But it's a pattern. There's a pattern there. And I know that there are people that are going to call in and say, well, you know, he played his ass off in the playoffs. Not arguing that. Not arguing that at all, because he did. And with everything that he had going on. But I think the thing that gets people's goat is the fact that the Sixers decided to re-sign him. He decided to play in the Olympics. And for whatever reason, he's not playing tonight.
And I know it's just one game. There is something symbolic about the first game of the season. And we can't pretend. It's like that in every sport. Opening day, you know, the first game of a season, opening tip. There's something to it. And if you're not ready to go, it's not a good sign. And if it really just is, okay, he's a week behind, why not say that 2 weeks ago? We would have wrapped our mind around it, right? Like, there would be no frustration today leading into their first game, the home opener. You know, I guess I'll take that back. There would have been some, but not a lot. Like, people would have went through the emotions already. Instead, they drop it on us yesterday, which is just embarrassing. I mean, it's embarrassing for the franchise, embarrassing for everyone over there that they throw this on everyone the day before. Imagine if you spent, I don't know, $350 on two seats or more to go to the first game because you want to see Embiid and George against Doc Rivers, first game with the new trio. And then, you know, Paul George gets hurt. You say, oh, that stinks. But what are you going to do?
It's a moment. It's a moment, man.
But then they pull the Embiid rug out yesterday, and you're like, wait a second. Yeah. I bought tickets for this?
I tell you what, man, to what you're talking about, had a chance to take Harper to a preseason game last year. I think it was against the Hawks. And it was funny because, number one, he was rooting for the wrong squad. And number two, Tyrese Maxey was on the verge of becoming a star.
Yeah.
And that was why I wanted him to see him so that he could become a Tyrese Maxey fan. Tyrese was out there. Granted, it was a preseason game, but the premise is still the same. The fact that you're sharing a moment with your kids, because the one thing that I see, especially at Sixers games, is the family moments. You see a lot of those family moments. People sitting on the front row with their kids and all the Joel Embiid jerseys and everything like that.
Yep.
It's one of those things that it means something to the people that pay tickets to see those games. And it's just unfortunate, man, that we're not going to see our star, not at all, for not the first three games of the season. Not going to see him at all.
Yeah, and the reality is it's because his knee's not ready. I mean, whatever that means, whether he's re-injured or it's just not strong enough, which is a whole different ball of wax as we go through his 30s here, where he's just going to be a diminished player. And then you throw in the fact that the organization can't be up front. Say we have a plan. Like, I feel like today and the start of the season without him, like, if you've been hiding under, you know, the covers and putting your head under the covers, you got to wake up. I mean, this is supposed to be their best chance to win a title. And they open the season just pouring cold water over all of us. 215-592-9494. Joel Embiid not playing for the first few games to start the season. Your reaction to that? Do you agree with the decision? Your call's next. Plus, we have a fun Hughes Clues today for a great prize. And a former player, NBA player, a champion. Great player. Not loving this plan the Sixers have come up with here for Joel Embiid. You'll hear that next. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you think is a good number of games he played?
82 games, man. This is what the job calls for. You're not practicing. You're not even playing a whole you don't play in the summer. Right. I can see if you playing in the summer, you're on the playground, you went to the Olympics, then it's training camp. Y'all do 30 days of tour days. Okay, that's when you get rest. Man, I don't want to hear this, man. I don't want to hear none of this. My can sit out a back-to-backs. Bro, hey, listen, we're done with that comparison of the era. We're going to respect this era and what it does, and that's it.
And that's it, says KG. Kevin Garnett, not thrilled with the Sixers' plan here for Joel Embiid. And that was recorded, I believe, before we even found out he wasn't playing the first three games. That was just off the back-to-back stuff. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. Look, Hugh, KG came in from a different era. He played more in your era. I think he actually came into the NBA the same year you came into the NFL. So it's changed.
Yeah.
But his thought process isn't insane. Maybe not 82 anymore. I understand they're going to give these guys, you know, some load management. They're going to try to protect them over the full season. But when we go into a season and the Sixers are basically telling us he's going to play 50 games at best. I mean, I'm trying to do the math on this. You were doing, I heard afternoon doing it yesterday. If we take out the first the 15 back-to-backs, right? That's down to 67 games.
Yes.
And then we're taking out the first three here. So we're down to 64 games now for Joel before we even try to start ramping him up. And that doesn't include any sort of other injury he gets along the way. How many games is he going to play this year? 45? 40?
Maybe. Yeah. That's what it's looking at. That's what it's looking like. And on top of that, you're talking about continuity.
Yes.
You know, that's the thing. And you're trying to figure out how is this team going to gel in the playoffs? Or how where the time they're going to get to gel? And on top of that, what seed are you going to get? Like you're talking about, see, you might be a play-in team. It just all depends. So there's a lot going against you here. I know that Coach Nurse is trying to be as confident as he possibly can. I can't see him being happy about this at all.
I'm sure he's not. Now, he did deal with something similar when they had Kawhi Leonard in Toronto. Mm-hmm. But Kawhi is a different animal. He was younger then. And also, they were pretty articulate with the plan they had for Kawhi. I mean, Kawhi was coming off an injury, heading to free agency, that they were trying to make sure he was healthy for the playoffs. This is like, well, yeah, that's our plan, but we didn't tell the fans. By the way, Hugh, you mentioned continuity. Kevin Garnett, when he got to Boston, remember they won the title his first year there?
Mm-hmm.
2008. He was 31 years old. Is that about how old Joel is now? I think Joel is about to be 31. I think he turned 30 last year. So we're right around the same stage of their careers. Kevin Garnett in Boston, 2008, they had two new stars they added in, right? They added in Ray Allen, and they added in Kevin Garnett. So they had to get continuity with Paul Pierce, who was already there.
Yeah.
Just like this team's adding in, obviously, Paul George. That year, you ready for the games that their starters played that season, Hugh?
I'm going to say it's in the 70s.
It is. You hit it. Ray Allen, 73. Paul Pierce, 80. Rajon Rondo, 77. Kendrick Perkins, 77. Kevin Garnett, 71. They all played at least 70 games. And I'm supposed to believe the Sixers know better than the rest of us. I don't buy it. And this whole thing just drives me crazy. Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Bruce.
Oh, man. Look, I'm mad as hell over this thing with Embiid. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. And I don't know if it's – I don't know who to even be mad at. Well, first of all, the organization – The one thing that they're doing with this trickery or whatever you want to call it is not only are they pissing the fans off, but MB's legacy is now just coming into question. And I'm gonna tell you, I was one of those people that I did not like the fact that he played in the Olympics. And when he showed up in the Olympics, he was grossly overweight. There were a couple of falls that he had in that game. I don't know if you know, because I was really watching for that. That I said, okay, those falls didn't look good. It would not be surprised me after all this is over with that it probably came out, and we'll probably never find out, is that he probably hurt himself in the Olympics, and that's what's led to the injury issues that he's apparently having right now. I don't know what the case is, but I tell you what, I say my final point is that what makes this situation so bad for all of us, and I probably speak for a lot of fans, is that coming off the Phillies, you know, debacle, the playoff debacle, whatever, I was really looking forward to the Sixers. I wanted to put everything aside on you know, Embiid and all the drama in the past, and I was so looking forward to the season, but now they've really screwed that up. And I just don't even know where to go from here. I'm just not going to emotionally invest myself in the Sixers right now. And I don't know. It's just a sad situation, and I don't know how we're going to get away from it.
Yeah, I don't know either, Bruce. And it's a fair point of that. You're not the only one. I think a lot of people feel very similar, that it's very hard to get invested in a team that doesn't tell the truth. Bruce, we appreciate it. All right, Hugh, let's you know what we do? We do a lot of reckless speculation on this show,
reckless,
right?
Reckless speculation.
All right. So I'm actually petitioning. The Odyssey app should have a thing that pops up whenever we're about to get into reckless speculation. People get a push notification like, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Reckless speculation on WIP. Hugh, I have three theories on what the truth is with this.
Let me hear them.
All right. You tell me which one you think is the most likely. So let's go first with Bruce's theory that he went to the Olympics. Because remember, he was healthy enough to come back to play in the playoffs. Even mm-hmm. though he didn't look great, he came back off the surgery. Okay, he played in the playoffs. Then he was healthy enough to go to the Olympics. So theory number one is he re-injured himself in the Olympics, and that's why we're ramping back up from whatever the heck happened in the Olympics. That's theory one.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh, theory number two is This is a load management plan where they've mapped out how often he's going to play, and they just didn't want to tell us so no one would get upset, right? Like, the whole time the plan was he's not starting the season until, whatever, November 10th, and they just lied to us until yesterday. That's theory two. Theory three, Hugh, is he's having long-term effects from all the knee surgeries he's had, including the one last year, and he's just not feeling strong enough to play. Like, all the surgeries, all those meniscus surgeries, it's caught up to him, and that knee is just weak at this point. Hugh, of my three theories, which is the one you subscribe to, if any?
I'd probably say number two.
So it's the
you
plan.
Gave me a lot. Yeah.
It's the long-term.
Yeah,
it's a load management plan.
Yeah, I think so. I think that this is a plan with him and his regime, how they're going to handle the season and everything. So, yeah, that's it. I think it's number two.
All right, Kyle, what do you think? Three theories I threw out. One was Bruce's, but I agree with him on that. So three theories. He re-injured himself in the Olympics, and that's why we have to ramp back up. Theory two, this is the plan, whether it's 50 games or 45 or whatever, and they knew this, and they just didn't. They lied to us until yesterday, so no one would be upset. Or theory three, he's having long-term effects from all the knee surgeries, including the meniscus repair last year, and he's just got a weak knee.
None of those are very, very great options.
They're not.
I just tend to lean more towards number one, that something had to have happened, just because the messaging is so, like, why can't the coach say he's not injured? That'd be a nice thing to hear from the coach, is that Joel Embiid's not injured.
And that would speak towards theory two. It's just the plan
right.
up for the full season.
Like that, and that almost, that's a little bit, like, that's probably the most palatable one.
It is. It's annoying, but it's palatable.
Yeah,
and actually, if they came out and laid it out and said he's going to play 45, we're going to start him in November 20th, I'd actually say this is annoying, but I get it.
Right.
You know why I don't think that dog hunts? Because they gave him a lot of bread.
They gave him a three-year extension.
They gave him a lot of bread.
And it would make sense if maybe, like, okay, game one, or, you know, if they played him game one and then sat him out game two. They're basically saying he's not going to be ready for the first three games of the season.
And then they'll reevaluate. Yeah,
right, like, and that doesn't happen to me, in my head, unless something is going on. It feels like he's hurt again.
It does. And there's two options. Either he re-injured himself again, so we're dealing with a new injury, or all the knee surgeries. Because I remember when reading about that surgery he did last year, it was like, if you do the full meniscus repair, you're more likely to come back 100%, but it takes longer, right? It would have cost him the playoffs. It would have cost him the Olympics. Or you could do the trim, I think they call it. And then you could come back quicker, but there's long-term effects. I mean, do we have a guy with degenerative knees at 31 years old? Great. We signed him up for three more years on top of what he had already.
See, that's the thing that I can't wrap my mind around. You signed him for three more years.
And they know what his MRIs look
yes,
like.
Yes, they've seen him. The training staff knows exactly, intimately, what his knees look like. There's a lot to digest here, Joe. Maybe they felt like if they didn't do this, that there was a chance that he might leave. Because here's the thing for me. As bad as his knees are, you don't want Joel Embiid going somewhere else. You don't want him to play for another squad. Even though he might not be the same guy, he's still a pretty damn good player.
Well, when he's out there.
Yeah, he's still a good player. So that's, I'm thinking that was probably some of the fear. And by giving him the extension that you gave him, you guarantee that he's going to be here his whole career. But you also gave him the big piece of chicken. You gave him the power to do exactly what he's doing right now. There's no rhyme or reason why he's not playing in the first three games of the season.
Unless there's more to it.
Yeah. Or I'm thinking more so that he just probably doesn't want to play. I think the simplest answer is the correct one. He's like, hey, listen, I'm not ready. And they're like, well, Joel, you look good. No, I'm not ready. It kind of feels like that to me.
So you think they're protecting him a little bit?
Yes.
Because if he says that or they say it, he looks bad for all the fans.
Yeah, he's gotten a lot of heat, man. I mean, Joel Embiid is a polarizing figure.
He is, because he's a great player, but
yes, he's a very, very polarizing
figure. He's unreliable. I mean, that's the reality. This hour is sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings and seven delicious flavors from Popeyes. Let's grab David, and then we'll set you up for a Hughes Clue today. What's up, David?
Yeah. Hey, Hugh.
Yo.
How about you starting for Embiid?
Oh, I'd like to see that.
David, you don't want that.
No, that'd be fun.
No, it would be.
Oh, come on.
Getting balls swatted all over the place.
You holding a pork sandwich in one hand and trying to dribble.
Trying to dribble would be the challenge. Yeah. No, you don't want that.
Plus, I mean, Hugh's a big dude in real life, but he's only – he's kind of short for the NBA.
I
got pork on my fork.
Some Hatfield out there, David. David, are you okay with this Embiid stuff?
Then they take the ball off you, and you're reaching in your pocket for a napkin. Yeah.
David, appreciate it, buddy. David was talking about you having Hatfield on the court.
Yeah, that was a lot.
How do we think he would do filling in for Embiid? I think not well.
I was curious what his Embiid take was.
I was not. I thought it was time to move on. 215-592-9494. That's a upward. By the way, quick piece of NFL news. Our old buddy Devin White signed somewhere, Hugh Douglas.
Yes, he did.
He's back in the league. He's part of the Texans now.
He's part of Houston.
Yeah,
I wonder what he's going to say about Philly when I ask him about Philly.
Oh, I'm sure we'll play it if he says something interesting. All right, before we go any further, Hugh, you know what we have to do today?
What we got
to
do?
Well, we got a prize to give away. We had one yesterday. We have the same one today because we're going to be there tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're going to be at Klondike Kate's Restaurant on Main Street in Newark, Delaware from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. doing our show. They're live tomorrow at Klondike Kate's. KlondikeKate's.com for details. And today, we're giving away a $50 gift card to Klondike Kate's Restaurant and Saloon in Newark. Come join us tomorrow or go whenever you want with your $50 gift card. Let's give it away with a little game we like to call Hugh's Clues.
Have you seen my dog, Hugh? He's got a brand new clue. It begins with a tramp stamp. Everybody's looking for Hugh's Clues. Hugh's Clues and you.
Oh, yeah, this is a fun one. You know, every now and then, well, most of the time, these clues are surrounded around things that I think about and things that I've experienced. Today, it's not the same. We're going to do something with Joe Giglio today.
Uh-oh.
And here's the thing. Halloween's right around the corner, and Joe dressed up like this iconic character from a show. For Halloween.
Yes,
that's the
I did.
First clue.
It was actually a Halloween costume contest.
It was a costume contest, yes. And this is Joe dressed up like this iconic character from this television.
All right, there you go. Clue number one, I dressed up as this TV character for a Halloween costume contest. This was, I think, in high school. It was either college or high school, so it was a while ago. But that's when I did it. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. There's your first clue for Hugh's Clues. Matt, South Jersey. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Let me roll up the windows here because I'm driving to work.
Sure.
So I'm beginning to think that the Sixers fan base is too schizophrenic to be relied upon, or they're just dumb. How do we not get that this guy is 31, he's 7'2", he's 200-some-odd pounds, he has a history of knee injuries, and the most recent example you could give of a team doing this won the title by doing it?
And?
And I guess my point is, what do we want? Like, do we want transparent communication from Sixers ownership? Like, is this England with their soccer teams where the local town has an ownership stake in the club? Like, that's not the way reality works. I'm beginning to think that every sport should just give out hockey injury reports.
So Matt, you prefer, like, all right, so but you're embracing the reality. My point is the reality sucks. They just gave him a 3-year extension. He can't post for the first game. He likely has degenerative knees. Why do I feel good about any of this?
I'm not saying, here's the thing. The whole goal of all of this is to win a championship.
Right.
And in a way, this represents to me Daryl Morey sort of maybe trying to course correct some of the stuff that happened in the process by saying, I'm interested in winning a ship now. The dude's got degenerative knees. I didn't want him to go anywhere else. I didn't want him to start asking for a trade this year. If we're going to win a title with Maxey and George, it's going to be this year or next year. I'm going to maximize the chances of that happening. And much like the Bryce Harper contract or the Juan Soto contract that everyone wants, if I've got to eat the money in year three but I get a chip out of it, so be it. The fan base won't care at that point.
So
I got
Matt,
a question, Matt.
Go ahead.
I got a question, Matt. What does that have to do with playing in the first three games, though, of the season? What does that have to do with playing in the season opener?
How does any of the first three games contribute to us winning a championship?
What you mean? Seeding? Positions in the playoffs? How does that not, especially against the Milwaukee Bucks? What are you talking about?
The Milwaukee Bucks have the exact same injury problems we do with Chris Middleton. The Boston Celtics have the exact same injury problems that we do with Kristaps Porzingis, except maybe worse.
But their best two players play every game.
Matt,
there's this idea, I don't know where it came from in the NBA, that seeding doesn't matter, the continuity doesn't matter. This may be their best opportunity or best way, their best path to go off your point. It's not going to work, Matt. If he doesn't play and they don't play together, there's zero chance they're winning the title. In the history of the NBA, there have been two champions lower than the third seed. Like, they think they're going to walk into the playoffs and say, well, Joel played 40 games. Paul George played 45 games. Go get him, guys. It's a joke. They're not going to win.
I think part of what Morey's calculation is here is looking at the rest of the East and essentially going, Milwaukee can have a higher seed than us. Boston can have a higher seed than us. Orlando's on the come, but they didn't really prove out all that well. Cleveland actually underperformed where a lot of people thought they were, what they were going to do once they actually hit the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So having a four seed and trying to play them isn't exactly the scariest thing in the world once they actually hit the show. And I think they're looking at the seeding in the East and going, if we can get top five, we can get there. Because this isn't a typical Eastern Conference where you've got the Raptors and the Celtics and the Knicks and all of this other stuff. And I think that the Knicks with Karl Anthony Towns have shown, what did Karl Anthony Towns do in the playoffs last year?
Yeah, I don't think he's a championship player. But see, the way I view it is different. I think the Celtics are an all-time team that probably wins it again. I mean, I think the whole thing has got to be trying to seed yourself so you don't see them early. But that's a long way away. I'm just frustrated, Matt. All right, Matt, give us a guess for Hughes Clues. Character I dressed up as Halloween once.
And you said that this was high school or college age for you?
Yeah, I forget if it was late high school or early college, but it was in that range.
I think we're roughly the same age. I'm 42.
I'm 38, so yeah, we're close.
Okay, well, roughly. You're a little bit younger than me. I'm trying to think of what shows would have been popular or would have been new around that time period. I am going to guess Walter White from Breaking Bad.
It's a very good guess. I mean, I actually...
That was around that time?
No, well, I think that show came out a little bit after this timeline. Oh, wait, it came out?
I know. I think it was on in 2000.
Yeah. I actually think I could pass for Walter White more now than I could then. I had plenty of hair then. Now I can. I could do that. That'd be a fun costume. 215-592-9494. Dustin in the Northeast. Hey, Dustin.
Joey G. How are you?
Sorry. What's up, Dustin?
Hey, Joe, you made a comment on the last segment about there's Joel and the La La Land guys. I'm letting you know that I had a first class ticket on that.
Have you escaped? Have you escaped back to the real world, Dustin?
Oh yeah,
good.
I am so done with this cat, dude. It's your last caller. I understand that he has problems. That's why he fell to us in the draft. But I don't need to see you out there playing your heart out for an Olympic team and then not showing up for. Dude, the start of this season, guy, I am so baffled that this is going on right now. I'm to the point, fellas, where, hey, New Jersey, you guys want to take our arena and take our team? Take them. Because I'm so sick with this organization. And it's not just the Sixers. The Eagles do it too. All of our sports teams do this. The Phillies did it. These organizations and these coaches and managers talk to us like we are not fully invested the way they are. We care way more than you guys care because we've been dealing with it our entire lives. And when you're sitting here talking all the crap you're talking and trying to make us look stupid and make us feel like we don't know what's really going on, it's an absolute joke. It is an absolute joke. And I'm not worried. Like, for instance, Hugh, you were saying, well, it's going to hurt us with the seeding. It's going to hurt us with wins, blah, blah. Yeah, that could happen. But we went out, and I don't know if you guys remember this, but before they signed him, I was really high on getting Andre Drummond. Mm-hmm. I think he is an unbelievable asset to this team. Finally got a player off the bench that can give us a double-double, a snap of the fingers. And he's going to be playing because Joel Embiid. The guy cannot play a full year. And I agree with you, Hugh. I think Joel Embiid is the reason Joel Embiid isn't playing tonight. I don't think it's the medicine. I don't think it's this BS that, it's game management. Game management, my ass. It's game one of an 82-game season. If you don't want to play back-to-backs, I get it. But you're telling me you're not going to be playing the first week of the season. You know what that shows? That shows that you really don't give a you-know-what because you didn't get yourself prepared. You were more worried about going and playing with the actual superstars of the NBA. That 45-year-old LeBron James, he showed up to game one, didn't he? He played in the full Olympics, and he didn't get benched in the Olympics because he didn't show up out of shape and fat and couldn't run the floor. It's a joke. It's either time to get rid of Joel Embiid, Joe, just like you said last year, and I was totally against it. Everybody says they bleed green, and that's how I feel about the Sixers. They're my true love.
Well, I can feel it in your voice, Dustin, and it's frustrating because I think we all wanted to be really excited for this season. Paul George is a really good player. Now, he's older, and maybe he's not what he was 5 years ago, but he's still really good. Like, we were going to be really excited to start this thing, and it's like they popped the balloon on you yesterday, and then they say, look away, don't worry about this. Well, yeah, we're going to worry about it. Dustin, give us a guess here for Hughes Clues, a character I dressed up as from a TV show for Halloween.
Well, just real quick before I get that point in, your last caller was saying the East isn't that good. What are you talking about? I know that Carl Anthony Towns doesn't really help the Knicks, but dude, they got Mikal Bridges. They got a sharpshooter. The Boston Celtics, Joe, they might be able to do it not just this year, but years to come. They're good. The East is good. That guy, I don't know what he was talking about. I'm going to say I got to go with the bald care. Were you bald at the time?
I was not. No, I had hair.
Oh, man, I was going to get Dr. Evil. I'm going to go Austin Powers.
That's a fun one. You went on the same kind of trajectory. No, it wasn't Austin Powers, but that was probably a costume around that time. 215-592-9494. That is how you hotboard. I will take all your phone calls on the Joel Embiid situation. You have your first Hughes Clue. Plus, Seth Joyner will join us next. We'll hit Eagles with him. And then you. And I'm curious what Seth thinks about load management in the NBA. We'll get Seth's thought on that. And how much the Eagles should run the ball moving forward. It worked on Sunday. Can it continue to work at that level? A lot to discuss with Seth Joyner on the Midday Show. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Nick Sirianni press conference as well later in the show. So much to discuss as we get set for another Eagles game and whatever the heck the Sixers are throwing at us right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!